This is Infidel One. Offending Coyote Down. Offending Coyote Down.
Roger that.
Welcome to Trappin' Radio. We're proud, organic, free-range, wild fur farmers of North America.
Let me tell you a little story about how I was raised. Every day work, every day pray. God, family, friends, yeah, everybody sins. A winner never quits, and a quitter never wins. Help folks in need, don't fall for greed. A jealous man is weak, so think before you speak. If you love them, let them know. If you hate, let it go. Fast can be fun, but sometimes you need slow. God is all good, the devil is so real. So listen up, y'all, cause this is how I feel.
I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't got none. Except for the good Lord up above. I answer to no one.
Now let's cover our sponsors. They do a lot to help support Trappin' Radio. So I'm asking you guys out there and gals to help support our sponsors as they keep Trappin' Radio on the air. First sponsors, Oki Cable and Trap Supply. Jeb's the owner of this. He's out of Oklahoma. Super guy. You'll not meet anybody nicer. It's somebody you're going to want to deal with. You can reach him at oktrapsupply.com. You can give Jeb a call at 918-429-4648. Not only does he do trap supply guys, he's a fur buyer, so if you're around the Oklahoma or surrounding states, give him a call with your fur. When you need stuff, give him a call and he'll get it out to you as soon as he can. Our second sponsor is F&T Fur Harvesters Trading Post. Everything you need for trapping, hunting with hounds, and predator calling. Guys, if you're into trapping fur, hunting fur, chasing fur with dogs, you're not going to be able to think of hardly anything that you can't get from F&T. You can reach them at fntpost.com. You can also give them a call at 989-727-8727. Whatever you want, F&T's got it. Wildlife Control Supplies, proven solutions for wildlife control, delivering value, expertise, and products to the wildlife individual. If you're in the ADC business, control business, even fur trapping, you need to look at these guys' website. Top-notch company, have everything you would want, even the odd stuff that ADC guys are looking for. You can reach them at wildlifecontrolsupplies.com. You can give them a call at 877-684-7262. International number is 860-844-0101. If you're a wildlife control professional, you need to have Wildlife Control Supplies as one of your favorites on your computer or your phone, because when you come across something that you need specialized equipment, Alan will get it right out to you. Now let's go trapping.
See, I'm a flag flying, Bible toting son of a gun. Yeah, I'm hell on the heart, just a rebel on the run. Scared, don't know it, fear, don't feel it. The truth is the light, sometimes you gotta fight. Good beats bad, right beats wrong. I'm a barroom preacher and this is my song. I'm climbing for the top, representing for the country. I'm the people's champ, right out to dead camp. Shotgun toter, Republican voter. Hank Jr. supporter, let's protect our border. To hell with anyone who don't believe in the USA. Cause this is what I say.
I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't got...
Hello everyone, this is Clint Locklear from Trapping Across America. I've got another interview up in New York. This is a strange one for the most part because it's with an association, which I've never done, but they're doing some really cool things that if you're in an association, you really need to pay attention to, because they're looking at this more like a way a business would run a business instead of just handouts all the time, which I think is cool. So why don't you go and introduce yourself, where you're from, you know, stuff like that.
All right, I'm Dan Eaton. I'm from Augusta, Georgia, and I'm with the Georgia Trappers Association.
Okay, are you, what are you in the association?
I'm the president.
You're the president.
Yes, sir.
All right. And were you born in Georgia?
No, sir. I grew up in Southern Illinois. That's where I started trapping at. My my uncle followed him around forever. He finally got tired of me tagging along and started showing me how to do it and gave me my first set of traps, and, well, it ain't ever stopped.
How did you end up from Illinois to Georgia?
When I went in the Army.
When you went in the Army?
I was stationed in Savannah, and when I got out, I just never went back.
What was your MOS?
11 Bravo.
Outstanding. That's what I was, just had a P on the end of it. But we did the same thing once we got on the ground.
Roger.
That'll work. That's cool. So you were stationed in Savannah, and did you get to trap while you were in the military in Savannah?
No, I did not. I didn't do a lot of trapping when I was in the service. Did a little bit of hunting, but just we trained a lot.
And being president of the Georgia Association, when you was telling me what you were doing yesterday, for one, I like business. Anybody that knows me knows that. I like marketing. I like being creative, which y'all are definitely doing. And I want to preference what we're getting ready to talk about. And I think you'll understand what I'm saying, but it may come across as very harsh. And it's not to anybody individual. But the way I've been doing these shows long enough, and like now I set a budget of $1,800 that I donate to.
Mm-hmm.
Once I hit that $1,800, I don't care how cute the kid is. I don't care what the organization is. I don't care if it's a naked lady coming around asking for donations. It's no. And the reason for that is, what I like what y'all are doing so much better is what someone may not understand that's not on my side of the table is we'll get a letter from almost every state in the spring. So that's about, 40, 50 letters for donations. And then we'll come to a show, and then that show will want donations or that state. Then other states will go to that show and get donations. And you'll have the FBU getting donations, and you'll have the FTA getting no donations, and you'll have Kids Projects getting donations. And that repeats over the course of the show. Like here, we'll probably have 50 to 60 solicitations. Well, when I started keeping track of that several years ago, the reason I do a budget now, we were donating to close to or getting requests for almost 400 people asking for donations.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of look at the NTA now. I've got 5 booths. I've already donated $500 to the NTA. You know, kind of asking for something else is it's almost getting insulting, in a way. But what you're doing in Georgia is y'all are being productive on the front end to raise money without just going to dealers with your hand out all the time, which to me is the way if any association is going to survive, especially right now when dealers aren't doing as good because fur market's down, but they're going to have all the expense to get here. I think more states need to be doing what you're doing.
Well, we did that in the NTA meetings first part of the week. I kind of briefed most of the directors there and handed every one of them a handout with an outline of what we're doing in Georgia. We started a sponsorship program. We got 4 different levels. Each one of them gives you a little bit more bang for your buck. We had a $1,000 platinum sponsorship, and I handed out all my literature. And we have a 500 gold sponsorship, and then a 250, and then 100 bronze. The $1,000, we only sell one mm-hmm. of those, and that's the convention sponsor. We have our convention September 19th in Augusta, and we will have 5 billboards. And one sponsor that has that, it would say, their name at it, welcomes Georgia Trappers Association. We give them a booth. They're on our website with a live link to their website. They're on all our flyers, banners we have made. Any advertising we have for the convention, they're going to be at the top of it. The $500 gold sponsorship. But
what you're doing is you're not coming inside the trapping industry for that money. You went outside the trapping industry.
Yes, sir. We have local businesses that we're soliciting and talking to, and it's working good. We started it 2 years ago. First time in our history we ever showed up at the convention, and we were in the black before we ever set foot in the door. Convention grounds were paid for. All our advertisement was paid for. We got Chick-fil-A paid us to come serve breakfast. Brewster's Ice Cream did our lunch and sold drinks for us. And what
they
that did,
you too.
They paid us too, and Shane's Barbecue paid us to do our dinner. But what that also did was it freed people up that aren't stuck in the kitchen and missed the whole convention.
Right.
It was very beneficial to us, and I haven't talked to one that didn't like it, and they all got their bang for their buck.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, they've made their money back regardless if no one ever looks at their sign.
Oh, absolutely.
Because of the food profit.
Even not necessarily that, but it's cheap advertisement.
Yeah.
That, I mean, even really if you is. Did it, pay us $1,000 for one full year, that's less than $3 a day. You know, and you know, that's cheap. I spend more than that on my business every month.
I was getting to say, I can tell that you're a business owner of some kind. What do you do if you don't?
I do wildlife management.
Okay. So you do your own marketing and
yeah, sure.
You have to.
TV and, you know, we run billboards and so forth.
Okay, and that's out of Noonan, Georgia?
No, it's out of Augusta, Georgia.
Augusta, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what made you think to do this over what everybody else has done?
Because you got to think outside the box, man, because everybody does the same thing. Again, as you said, we've become
really
an association of beggars.
I don't know. Yeah, well, I wasn't going to say that, but I have said that before.
Well, and I'm going to be hitting folks up here. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast.
It is, and yeah, I mean, I totally get that. It's just it almost seems like the states, like what y'all are doing, you've got to figure out a way to generate money outside of the donation base inside of trapping.
Yeah. Also, we did something else this year. We're doing a sweepstakes drawing, and we got over $40,000 in hunting and fishing trips and merchandise. We went out and got, you know, a couple African safaris, got some fishing trips to Alaska, bear hunts in Montana. Gosh, we got local a lot of hog hunting. I mean, there's just too many. You'd have to go to the Georgia website and take a look, and everything's listed right there.
Well, before I forget, if you'll text me or email me, you have my email, the picture of the billboard so I can use that on the show.
Sure.
Then that way they can kind of see what you're doing. Now, how many members are in Georgia Association?
We've doubled our membership in the last 9 months. We're at over 350 right
okay.
at the moment, but we're growing.
Which for a southern state, that's pretty good.
Well, I think that if I'm not mistaken, I may be wrong on this number, I want to say there's only 1,200 trapping licenses sold in Georgia. And a big percentage of those are probably pest control companies that absolutely do no fur trapping. So, you know, I guess at the peak we were probably over 500 at one time. And then, you know, as things go, people get stuck in their ways and you quit recruiting. You know, we've kind of in Georgia, we've been asked to sit in with DNR on the committees, and they're starting this the 3 R's. Are you familiar with that?
Mm-mm.
It's recruitment. Let's see, recruitment, retainment, and reactivation, and that's for hunters, fishermen, and trappers.
And this is a state program.
No, it's actually nationwide. They're just in the development stages for implementing it in Georgia.
Okay.
In fact, I think when we get back, there's a meeting that we have to attend. Can't remember the date. And we've kind of adapted that before we showed up at DNR with this. Is we started reaching out to past members that have been inactive. We are partnered with our local DNR, started doing introductory trapping courses with them. And what we are attempting to do with that, the DNR charges a fee for it. You get a lunch out of it, and it's basic trapping, you know, trap preparation. Then we got 4 other stations. You know, we have a beaver and otter station, muskrat, then a coyote, a fox, bobcat station, and then coon and possum. So the folks are coming through there, and it's an all-day event. And what I went back to the board and presented with our board was that I'd like to give them a membership for that money. The DNR has given us, the association, the money for it. And we got 40 people at a time. We're going to do them in all 7 regions. That's 280 new members a mm-hmm. year. I figure in 3-4 years, we're going to triple our size and and it brought people into the world of trapping.
Well, if you keep your percentage up, yeah, I could see how you could. See, when I was NTA director for Tennessee, I don't know, 15 years ago, whenever that was, for, I think the number, because when you said that percentage of license to, if I remember right, the NTA was trying to at least get it to where it was 10% of the trappers were a member of the association. So y'all, I mean, y'all doing really well.
We're doing fantastic. We're really pleased with our direction. We have, I mean, the bottom line is, and this is going to be pretty harsh, is you cannot run it as a good old boys club.
Mm-hmm.
It's business. I know it's not set up as a business. Your bylaws aren't allowed to quote unquote a business. But if you're going to stay and be a factor, you have to look at the, you know, the overall picture. We've set up short-term and long-term goals. When I was elected president this past year, I told everybody I had a plan, and what I thought was going to take us 3 years to do, we're going to be complete with all that this year. We're in the process of submitting a trapper's education course to DNR for their approval. And
kind of like the deer, the hunting.
Yes, just like hunter's ed. Whether it's mandatory or voluntary, I really don't care, but I think that folks that are, you know, all you hear is coyote, coyote, coyote. You know, they want to hammer it. And everybody wants to go set a trap, but they don't know the rules, or nor do they know how.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we feel that, you know, you have a moral obligation to know what, you know, that you have to check your traps every 24 hours, that you have to have a catch bow, that you have to have 22 rim fire. Most of them don't know that. All they hear is, well, I'll just go out here and set a trap. They don't even know they have to check it every day.
Well, I've had some calls from, I have a lot from the South. And, you know, when someone watches me in Texas behind, you know, big ranches, no pets, no mm-hmm. other homes, no, you know, and I'm using those great big traps with the big pans. And I can think of two calls out of Georgia this year. Do you have those traps for sale? No, I don't sell traps. Where can I get them? And then I'll always ask, where are you from? And they go, you know, they'll say whatever state, but two of them are Georgia. And I was like, are you trapping in Georgia? And they go, yeah. I go, dude, you don't want to use that trap. Oh. And I go, they'll go, well, why not? I said, well, one, it's illegal. And two, that's not a trap you use in around in the South where you got 30,000, you know, feral dogs running around mm-hmm. per person. You just don't do that.
Right.
And then we have to go through that. I'm like, you need to get a hold of the state or the state association, figure out what the rules are. You'll end up in trouble. And it won't be a happy place for you. And but you're right. I mean, because people just see something on Facebook or they see something on TV or
YouTube.
And they're mm-hmm. gone.
Absolutely. And we run into that constantly. You know, I get calls. I didn't realize how much President got calls. But mm-hmm. I mean, I'm on the phone just about every evening, it seems like. You know, and I'm happy to talk to them because I feel at the end of the day that I've enlightened them and brought them up to speed as far as what is legal and ethical in the state of Georgia.
Now, just for a brainstorming session, what else do you think a state could do? I mean, what y'all are doing in Georgia, if the NTA doesn't follow that model, or the FTA doesn't follow that model, that would really question the intelligence level there.
I can't speak for neither one of those associations.
Or the drive of either one of those. That's right. A better way of saying it, not sound, you know, not intelligence, but
just the.
That's a better model.
Everything I put out there was very well received. Chris McAllister, the president of the NTA, he's out of Copia. We have talked, and I feel that we're going to talk some more about it. The challenge, I think, what you run into is you've got to have that person that is business-minded and that is can go out and network. Because without sales background or having the connections in the wherever your convention is going to be at, you're not going to be able to produce the results.
Well, I have a feeling what's going to be the issue, and I'm going to play a game with you, so don't get nervous when I tell you what it is, but I think you're going to be able to handle it. Someone that's not in business, because they don't think that way, is in a position in a state association, and they're going to go to Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you've got 500 members, per se, in your organization. How are you going to pitch me that 500 people out of a state of several million, why would I want to put my name with that at all? How do you word that, or what is your strategy?
Basically, I went in there. We are a nonprofit organization. We are a 501c3, and we're an education. All associations, the bottom line is, they're an education association. Education is the key word.
Okay.
I have found that that is the key word. People want to help with education, whether it be trapping, hunting, school, whatever. If you are out educating, or you know, presenting an education, people are going to get on board with you. I have not had a problem with that. Again, you need to be able to talk to folks and talk to them at an intelligent level. And
look presentable.
Be presentable. Yes, sir. That was my, and you know, you can't show up there and, you know, your overalls and no shirt on and, you know, and then smell like lure, that's for sure, because you're not going to get anywhere. You need to look professional. You need to speak professional. And you need to know what you're speaking about.
Well, how do you, I'm sure, okay, you got the educational side. There has to be a barrier for a business to put its name with trapping, just out of pure defense nowadays of how sensitive people are. How do you handle that?
What I run into is, again, it's a two-edged sword here. Everybody, you see it in the news every day. I mean, there was a Hollywood celebrity, good dog got eaten by a coyote yesterday. I saw it on the news yesterday morning. You know, what do y'all do? Well, you know, we trap coyotes and you know, this. Oh, I got a problem with coyotes at my place. You know, it opens the door for you. And then you can.
So you're not seeing it as a negative from the market. You're actually seeing it as they're receptive.
Yes, sir. I mean, folks want to talk about it. You know, if they got any land or hunting property or their daddy, or their or uncle, or whatever. In Georgia, it's not like it is up north. You know how it is. I mean, it's a different mindset down south.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a little easier, in my opinion.
So someone that was up north, like in New York, they may have to get more creative of how they...
Again, you have to tailor to your demographic area.
Okay, let's change direction just a little bit. I've got Clint's Outfitters. I'm taking people to Africa. How do you get them? How do you justify to me that I've got enough value to give you a donation? Because those hunts got to be expensive.
They are. Actually, I was in South Africa last year on a hunt that I won through Quality Deer Management Association. When I was down there, I made some connections with my guy in the outfit that I went with. And then just happened to run into somebody else as we were leaving that was there to pick some more guys up out of a different location in Africa. And so it was kind of kind of fate, so to speak, for the Africa trips that we were able to get. But Africa is, they want you there. They want you to come. That's what they thrive on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's that difficult to get a hunt from Africa. And it's a percentage game, because I sent out I don't know how many emails when I started this. I started with one, and that was what we were going to run with. And I thought, well, you know what? We got one. Why couldn't we do, you know, multiple ones? So I just started going on the computer and started pulling up Outfitters, magazines, emailing. And it was just boom, 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 boom. I mean, actually, I was turning them down, you know, towards the end of it, because there's only so much money. And,
right. You
know, there's only so much you can possibly do.
So you were hustling that just like you did your business.
Yes, sir. Yep. We actually had a guy, I talked with a guy from New Zealand. He was willing to donate a red stag hunt to us, you know. Stipulation was he had to bring somebody full price. And I'm like, yeah, you know, that's going to be very challenging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always a catch to everything.
And was it just as receptive in the States?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. again, we put them on our website with a direct link to theirs. They're on our billboard, all our advertising, just like our sponsorship. And it's cheap advertisement. Again, it's less than $3 a day for a year. I mean, and anybody in business or has a business like mine, you're going to see the value in that.
Well, see, I'm thinking, I talked to a few guys yesterday, and I'm not going to mention any names. They've got some products. They're trying to do the supply business. They're trying to figure out a way. Either they have a budget. That was obvious on both of them. And they're trying to figure out a way to get their name out there. One of them's been in wholesale, but no one knows who he is because he sells to the big guys on what he does. And another guy, he sells very local, and he's trying to spread out. And from what you're telling me,
this would be a perfect opportunity for him.
Yeah, see, value-wise, $1,000...
Well, I'm going to sell $1,000 ones, so that's, you know, that's... But you could tailor it to whatever you wanted to. You could,
but there's other states.
Yes, sir.
If they were to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if I was... Say, we'll use Tennessee for an example. If there was someone in Tennessee, like for me personally, for the way that I market now with the name recognition, I would have to question that value for what I can do on the internet because that's kind of my space.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be hard to get me to it. But if I was starting out 15 years ago today and I was trying to compete with me in the state of Tennessee, $1,000 is not a full-page ad in one magazine.
Absolutely.
For 1 month that someone's going to look at and turn the page right now.
Mm-hmm.
But for a whole year with a state association, you know, and you might even be able to have two or three of those or however they want to structure it.
Right.
But use that as a way for guys that want to make money and show them the value to bring that money in this association without just relying on. Now, that would be pretty cool.
And that's what I've done this year. We have two guys that are just getting started, you know, and both of them, bam, yep, I'm on board. And, you know, we're sending out with our newsletter. We encourage our membership to, you know, hey, check our sponsors out before you go somewhere else. And, you know, we try to support the folks that sponsor us. And I think we're all going to benefit from it.
And you've talked about probably, do you care if there's anything I shouldn't talk about that we talked about yesterday?
No.
Okay. So you're thinking about doing stuff on YouTube to try to generate money that way?
Yes, sir.
And you said a DVD, I believe.
We're working on, we got a grant from FBU to help us with an educational DVD. we're in the process of producing that, but we're also, something that we've done on a smaller scale is have a youth... We have a trapping competition in Georgia as a fundraiser. Great fellowship. What we decided this year was, and the kids have done it, just to a smaller scale. We decided this year we're going to do just kids. You get the kids involved, mom and dad are going to follow suit.
Mm-hmm.
I spend bukus of money, you know, with my daughter cheerleading, you know, competition cheerleading. Trapping's no different. If you can get the kids involved, mom and dad are going to put the money out to be there. But we're going to video this year's. All the kids setting traps or catches, and we're going to put it on a DVD, and we're going to sell it. You know? It's how much better can you get than, hey, here you are. Here's your DVD. We're going to give the kids that are participating, we're going to give them their DVD, and they're going to show it to their friends.
Well, see, I would suggest if you film, you're going to have more film than you're going to be able to put in a DVD.
Oh, absolutely.
So I would suggest using Facebook
and
YouTube so people outside can see. I mean, because social media would eat that up. I mean, you're going to have some negatives on there, but
you know what? We
just
have
got to deal with
social media has been detrimental to us doubling our membership. We've got a Facebook page, and just when you fill out the application, we ask folks, hey, how'd you hear about us? Facebook. You know, we've probably got, I can't even put a number to it because I don't know off the top of my head, but it has tremendously helped us. And I think that any association that does not have social media are really behind the ball on that, and they're missing out because it's free.
Mm-hmm.
You don't pay for it. You just got to be able to put stuff on there and put quality stuff on there. And you got to have somebody that can, excuse me, monitor it. But at the end of the day, there's no better advertisement than social media at this time, because our kids, you know, they don't carry cash with them. Everything's done on a debit card.
That's right.
They carry their phone. They don't even call. They text.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
We were making fun of that yesterday.
Right. And, I mean, that's where the next generation of trappers are going to be. Instagram, that's where the kids are right now.
That's right.
They're not on Facebook. You and I are on Facebook. My kids, they don't Facebook. They're on Instagram. So that's where we're targeting that area next.
5 years, we'll be on Instagram, and they'll be on somewhere else.
Absolutely. Yeah. But you got to be able to roll with those changes and not be so set in our ways that, oh, no, that's not going to work, because 20 years from now, what we're doing now is going to be obsolete. We're going to have to adapt and overcome.
One of the things that I wish the NTA or the FTA would do is, like at the national, or maybe outside of a convention, so you could get dealers involved, because there's no way I can go to meetings all day and pay the tables and come up here and try to do what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But if it was a day before or a day after or whatever, if the NTA could go around to people that are good at business and marketing and find their members that are successful in business, because everybody knows everybody, and go, for a couple hours, let's just get in a room and figure out how we can generate money using entrepreneur ideas, and then try to come up with a strategy. And every year, just kind of refine that, like what you're doing, and you can do all kind of different things, I'm sure, if you sit down and you have business people bounce that off each other. Well, and I'm doing this, and my business seems to work. You know, this is how I'm doing social media, and I'm getting a better effect than when I was doing it this way. And you could kind of get a plan going, so then the states could have their people come in, and it's almost like business instruction.
Right. Well, you're training them.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, you're providing a training. You need, and all businesses do it. All corporations do it.
Absolutely.
You know, they come and they send their people. It's all about educating. It all falls back to educating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's, you know, teaching somebody to trap or teaching them how to approach a business in order to, you know, solicit a sponsorship out of them, or securing one, rather. I think when you put folks of like-minded together and you're bouncing and you're brainstorming, you're going to come up with some fantastic ideas.
See, you know, I don't know the rules of a 501c3, really, but, I mean, there has to be even more creative ways as far as having a product or a service,
mm-hmm,
that they could provide like a business, but the money goes back into the coffers for,
right,
you know, what it's needed for. But to me, that's just where I think it starts getting a lot more professional,
mm-hmm,
you know, and you have security that way.
Yes.
Because then you're not, the revenue stream's not donation from dealers and people like that. Now you can have several different, and if one starts falling off, it's not hurting the tree very much. I mean, to me, that'd be a cool thing for the NTA or the FTA to do.
You know, I hope that eventually they can do that. I think the challenge on that is we all get together one time a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have conference calls, and there's emails and this, that, and the other. But you're going to have somebody that is over that and pushing it and talking to folks and sending information to them and help and going there and helping them and let them see,
mm-hmm,
how it's done. Who's going to foot that bill? That would be something that we'd have to figure out, because that will cost money. But in order to make money, you have to spend money.
Well, and it should be able to be sustainable within itself.
Absolutely.
Whatever the cost of that is. I mean, like trapping associations, people get very squirrely if you have a paid position.
Mm-hmm.
But if there was somebody that they could pay were at least worth their time, to, you know, to go do some of that stuff, 10, 15 hours a week, you know, whatever it would be to go do that, but then the states could get more secure in their funding, that would be some of the best ways.
Well, your northern states, for the most part, I believe, talking to several folks, they're pretty well funded compared to us in the South.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we operate on a shoestring budget in Georgia. we're actually probably in the best place we've ever been as far as money wise. We don't think we've ever had this much money in the bank, that I can recall in the last 20 years. But you're going to have to pay somebody in order to go out to do this, and that's the bottom line. Again, they're not looking to make a living off of it because they can't do it. But pay the hotel, pay the gas, pay their food. It's only going to be there for a day to show that other person in that area how to do it.
Mm-hmm. And have an outline.
They have to develop their own technique to sell it. And once they see it in action, because lip service, you and I sitting here talking about it, that's great. But until you see it in action, you don't really understand how we're working it.
Mm-hmm.
But once you see how it works and you see the response, and it's a positive response, it'll click with you. Okay, and you just got to apply that to each place you go.
Well, to me, I took a thing online. It's totally out of trapping. It was an online course. It's almost $1,000 that I took, and it was educational. And inside of that educational thing, they set it up with, I think it's called Vimeo. It's like YouTube.
Mm-hmm. I know what it is.
I think that's how you pronounce it.
Vimeo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they put videos up, which cost them nothing. They're mm-hmm. using their servers, which cost them nothing. They set it up where you had to be a member to go in, because I don't think that should be public source, because then you'd have PETA and everybody figuring out what you're doing and defeating it. But then but if you're in one of these positions, you could go on there. And one of the most interesting posts in that, and it was on permaculture, so it's gardening design. Mm-hmm. So people are trying to build businesses and generate income off of what they want to do with designing food systems. And there was a thing in there that people would actually, what I said and what the customer response was, and then how I changed the wording to get a different response on the next job. So when they went up, if they used the word, say, organic or sustainable or regenerative or whatever it was, and after they talked to like 30 clients, and somewhere in that presentation they hit a wall, they would get on that form and go, I'm having trouble here. And then everybody else would go, yeah, I had that same trouble. So what I'm saying, the same thing is this way, gives a different visual picture.
Change that buzzword.
Change the buzzword. And then they would go out and try to go home, and that's really cool. And to me, that would be neat for the states to do, because it wouldn't cost nothing.
I agree with that. And I think that definitely deserves some exploring and trying to figure out how that could make that work in each area. Mm-hmm. I don't have the answers. I know what's working for us. Mm-hmm. Doesn't necessarily it's going to work New York or Montana or Texas. I think it's going to come down to finding that person in your association that is an entrepreneur and that's on fire and believes in what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Attitude, I think, is probably 100% to being able to sell, and being confident in what you're selling. Know what you're offering, know the business, and when you go in, don't go in half-cocked.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be squared away. But I think that if you put something together like that, and even if you just went in and had a mock situation, that would give them a starting point to be able to tailor it to their needs in that area.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool. So what else is Georgia thinking about doing? I mean, I love what y'all are doing.
We appreciate it.
Thinking outside the box. I mean,
we appreciate it. We're trying to do right now. We had a short-term, long-term. I had a 5-year plan out, and man, we have the best team put together that I can ever remember. Everybody is on fire and working together, and like I said, we're going to be done with everything that I was planning that on a 5-year plan. Long-term goals is we want to reach, folks in the northern part of the state, and ultimately bring all the trappers in. I mean, you'd be surprised the folks I talk to. I didn't even know there was an association in Georgia.
All the time.
Blows me away. Especially with today's internet. How do you not know there's a trapping association between social media, internet, and...
Well, I think the associations are getting lost in the shuffle of all the other content.
Yeah, you could be right.
You know, an association, unless it's someone that studied Google Analytics and search word, you know, optimization and stuff, they're putting something on YouTube, but it's never really getting traction because they don't understand how people are typing stuff in.
Right.
Which goes back to the
education. Well, that's your SEOs, you know, and you've got to have your buzzwords. It's all about buzzwords, man.
Mm-hmm.
It does go back to that. We're working on just trying to build our memberships and educate and, you know, be proactive. There's no reason. You need to be proactive because when something happens, if you're ahead of the game, then you already got it squared away. But when you're being reactive all the time, all you're doing is you're meeting that wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get out ahead of it.
And just try not to fall down when you hit the wall.
Yes, sir. You know, if you can't penetrate it, you know, flank it. You know, or back up and rethink your plan. Just because it doesn't work one time, doesn't mean it's not going to work at another time. And that's what I try to, you know, express to our people is, you know, hey guys, it may not work in South Georgia. You may have to go about it a different way. Or North Georgia or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the reception that we have is just tremendous. We have a tremendous amount of support from the Georgia Hunt and Fishing Federation, 100% behind
us. QDMA's behind trapping.
Yes, sir. Delta Waterfowl. Turkey Federation. They all know that predator control has to be done. 20 years ago, they wouldn't have talked about that to save their life.
No.
You know, I mean, 20 years ago, we had a terrible relationship with the dog hunters in Georgia. Now we all work together as one. I'm thrilled with it.
Now, we've only got about 5 minutes here, and I'm gonna kind of put you on the spot, but not really, because I think you're going to like it. But to everybody that's listening to the show, it's already a state member somewhere. What does it cost to be a member in Georgia if you're not getting the magazine?
$10.
$10. Well, what I would, for like members of Trapping Radio, and I'll do this today to prove it, that I think it, since y'all are trying to get us out of the 1980s in the way that you run the association, maybe use y'all as a, if people like what you're saying, if they donate that $10 to be a member of Georgia, and when they do that, they just let you know that they support how you're trying to generate it,
yes,
you know, kind of keep up with that a little bit. You know, it may be one, me, or it could be 100, I don't know, you know. But that way you could, I think trappers are looking for organizations to start doing stuff like this.
Yeah, I do too.
And for $10, you know, show it, and then you could come back next year and go, look, we're doing this, and we got other state members that are joined up just because they like what we're doing.
Well, we're actually taught with other states. We're starting to affiliate with each other, so to speak, and they're putting up our logo with a live link to our website and vice versa. And I think it's just networking.
Yes.
You got to treat it like a business, and networking is the key to business. You know, so we're all in it together. We all have the same vision for trapping and the love of it. Because when no Lord knows, we ain't doing it for the money.
Not this year.
you know, we have to work together, you know, and I think the NTA could be very dead, and even the FTA for that matter. If we could get everybody together and on the same program, I mean, who's to say what could happen?
Because there's probably other states that's done some cool stuff, but no one else knows about it.
Right.
You know, and that's the sad part. You know, it's almost like you need some way to bounce that off each other, and networking may be the best way to do it.
I don't know of another way to do it. You know, everybody's, you know, just like last night, we're all sitting around after the banquet and all, and we're just talking. That's the best time to brainstorm. I mean, y'all do it around the campfire or whatever, mm-hmm, out here at the fairgrounds or the hotels or whatever. But then what do you do with it? You know, what do you do when you go back to your state? You need to retain that. Write it down. You know, if it's a good idea and you think it was, bring it to your board. Run it by your board. Get them on fire about it. The more folks in your association that are on fire and want to do something, the better the outcome.
Absolutely. Well, man, I really appreciate you saying this, and we got to go in and go to work now. But
Clint, we appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All righty. And what, before we leave, what's your website to your...
www.gatrappersassoc.com. You can sign up on right there for your membership, or you can buy sweepstakes raffle right there through PayPal.
Cool. All righty. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Slint.
Sometimes we get so caught up on, I'm not feeling it today, or I don't like that person, or I don't like this circumstance or this situation. You got to get mature, and you got to be at a place when you say you're going to do something, no matter what happens, you do it. Because again, when you start grinding, when you start waking up early, when you start, you know, keeping your word to yourself, to your boss, like when you get going to 120, when you all in by any means necessary, you start seeing stuff and you start experiencing stuff and you start having stuff that people who are not doing that, they never get.
You don't get in life what you want, you get in life what you are, what you subconsciously believe that you deserve. And as you look at where you want to go, you are constantly working deliberately in the process of developing yourself to become that kind of person, that kind of manager, having that kind of consciousness to create what you want to create in your life experience. A lot of people lay back and wait for their ship to come in. No, I think you need to swim out there to that ship and pull it in.
Whatever you believe, if you think life is just a waste of time, doesn't matter what you do, or, you know, you're big boned, then obviously you're not going to go for it. You're not going to try to lose weight. You're not going to go push for that next level of your career or your finances or your relationship or anything else. Beliefs control us.
Stop whining. For real, because when you whine, you waste the energy, and you only have so much energy, you only have so many hours, you only have so many weeks, so many months, so many years to live. And if you waste it whining and complaining, you will never get to your dreams and your goals. But if you just buckle down, bear down and say, look, I'm gonna get through this pain, I'm gonna get through this frustration, because on the other side of pain is a reward, man, you'll have things that people who whine and complain will never have, and you'll experience life in a way that they will never experience it.
Most people go to their graves taking their ideas with them, not wanting to make any mistakes, not wanting to fail, not wanting to step on anybody's toes, not wanting to hurt anybody's feelings, wanting to be known as the nice guy or nice lady, not wanting to be perceived as being pushy. And so they go to their graves with all of their music in them because they weren't willing to act. They weren't willing to step into the arena. They weren't willing to take care of business. And you've got to decide within yourself, come what may, let the chips fall where they may, but I'm going into action. I'm going to do something, and I'm going to do it now.
Maybe the question to ask is, where do I want my life to be today? And where am I really going? What is my destiny? What's going to fill me up? What's going to give me the meaning for my life? That's going to give me joy in my life, not just achievement, but real enjoyment, a sense of meaning and aliveness.
Rise, every last man shall shake to the core of his soul.